This chazor is echnish bach chesach shvag b'mam Yehuda mesechdes ksubes daf tzadik vov perek almana nizoynes perek achad osor. Zok the heilige mishnah b'siyata d'shmaya, a widow was supported from the property of the orphans. Her earnings are given to them, and they are not obligated to bury her when she dies. Her yarshim, who yarsh, and her ksuba are obligated to bury her. In fact, Amara, does the mishnah mean to say that if a widow was supported by the orphans, meaning it's not absolutely obligated, and that's when her earnings go to them, or does the mishnah should be read as saying that a widow is supported by the yesoimim, meaning that it is an absolute obligation? Amara said that we find that Reb Zeira named Shmuel said that the mitzias of a widow belong to her. Now, if our mishnah means that the support of the widow is an absolute obligation, how can it ever be that her mitzias are kept by her alone? Just as the husband supports her and gets her metzias, so when the yosaimim support her, they should also get her metzias. The Gemara says, no, maybe it is an absolute obligation. Still, she keeps her metzias because the only reason a husband gets the metzias of a wife is to prevent hard feelings between the two of them. We don't care if the yosaimim have hard feelings toward the widow, and therefore we don't require her to give her metzias over to them. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina said, a widow must do for the yosaimim all the tasks that a wife must do for her husband, except for preparing their wine, making their beds, washing their face, hands, and feet. Rabbi Shimon Levi said, any task that a slave does for his master, a Talmud also has to do for his Rebbe, except for untying his shoes. We don't want people to think that the Talmud is an actual slave, and therefore they would think that he's not permitted to marry a Jewess. Rava said, this is only true in a place where people don't know the Talmud. If they do, he even has to untie the shoes for his Rebbe. Rashi said, even if they don't know him, if he's wearing tefillin, he has to untie the shoes for his Rebbe because no one mistaken him as being a slave. Dr. Mari Beloza said, if a widow seizes movable property for her support, we don't take it away from her. Abraisa says this as well. Rav Dima reported a story that shows this as well. Ravina said, this is true when she seizes for her support. However, if she seizes movable property, metalatlan, for her ksuba, we do take it away from her. Marbra Rashi asks, why should the support obligation be treated differently than the ksuba obligation in this respect? They both are only collectible from real property, so why should it be different? Rabbi Yitzchak ben Naftali said to Ravina, Rava has said like you as well. Said, if a widow waits 2 or 3 years without making a claim for support, she loses her right to make such a claim. In fact, if she loses her right after waiting 2 years, surely she loses her right after waiting 3 years. So what's the chiddush of three? Mar says a poor woman loses her right after 2 years. A wealthy woman first loses her right after 3 years because she has money to support herself for a longer period of time. Second teretz, a woman who is more shy and embarrassed can wait up to 3 years before losing her right. A woman who is less shy and embarrassed loses her right after 2 years. Rava said, when we say she loses her right, we mean with regard to collecting for retroactive support. However, she can always make a claim for future support. Rabbi Yochanan asked, if the Yosaimim say they gave money for support and she claims that she never took money, who bears the burden of proof? Do we say that the property of the estate is considered to be in the possession of the Yosaimim and the widow must therefore prove to take from them? Or is the property in the possession of the widow and therefore the Yosaimim must therefore prove their claim? So Brisa taught by Levi says that as long as the widow has not remarried, the burden of proof is on the Yosaimim. Once she remarries, the burden of proof is on her. Rav Simi Rashi said, maybe we can say that this is machlekes among Tanoim in a Braisa. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda says a widow may sell her husband's property and should identify in the sale which one she's selling for her support and which one she's selling for her ksuba. Rabbi Yaisi says she may sell them without any detailed explanation. Maybe we can say that Rabbi Yehuda holds that she has a burden of proof and that's why she has to provide an explanation of identification. Rabbi Yaisi says that the Yosaimim have the burden of proof and therefore she can sell without the need for an explanation. Mar says, no, maybe that all agree that she's considered to be in possession and the burden of proof is therefore on the assignment. Rabbi Yehuda is just advising her to explain her action, to identify, so that she should not look like she sold everything for her support, because as if she's someone who needs to eat a lot. It just doesn't look good for her. Another teretz is, we can also say that all agree that the burden of proof is actually on the widow. The reason Rabbi Yossi says that she doesn't have to identify the properties is that by doing so, it allows her to claim that all the sales were for her support, and thereby allow her to get those fields back from the buyers for her ksuba obligation.